This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And Kabir and Imam Bazzar in his Musnad, read to us by Ibn Abbas and Abu Huraira. And each book is a different narrator, and it has a reasonable chain of narration. And this is the series within the series of humbleness is what I'm covering. Before I do that, just as since it came up, might as well point it out now earlier than later. So as we move along, if you have a phone, Yani, and if you happen to have an app on the phone that gives you adhan, then you're going to find that Isha is going to be later than what we pray here. So 11 years ago now, when I came to London, I came in middle of July, and it was Ramadan. And I went to pray, and I found that they were doing Isha at 11:30, which I thought was insane. I thought it was completely crazy. So I prayed that year and the year after at home, like I did my Tarawih at my parents at home. And then the year after that, when I went to LMM, I requested from Sheikh Al-Fattah and Sheikh Jamal Al-Talib and Sheikh Ziyad and a few others to go out and see if they can take a look at the Shafaq. So Isha, unlike Maghrib and maybe Dhuhr, is a little bit more subjective. Dhuhr, you have the thing in the middle of the... Once there's no dhil, that's Dhuhr, and Asr, it's just a matter of whether you're a Hanafi or not and how long. Is it the same length or twice the length? It's very simple, it's very objective. Maghrib, once the sun dips under the horizon, we're done. Isha and Fajr, they're a little bit more objective because it's all based on a color that's going to, the first beam of light or a light with a certain color they're going to see in the horizon. So it's not as objective, there's some subjectivity to it. So I asked them to go take a look, and so they went and they assessed it again. And they assessed it and they used different angles, and they kept on using different angles that were permissible until they found something that allowed Maghrib Isha to be as early as possible within this country. And if it wasn't for the fact that I was scared that people would flip and lose their minds, I am actually a fan of being much more aggressive than that. In countries that are in the northern hemisphere, where during the summer years, you have Isha that go, the time between Isha and Fajr is significantly short to the point where there's no night. Yani Jam' al-Maghrib al-Isha is very reasonable alternative. It's very reasonable. And at some point in my life before I die, I'll probably do the fatwa and then die so that people can just curse me in my death, and then hopefully people can do it and benefit from it. Because honestly, this is what is needed in these types of work. This is fatwa actually that was given out 33 years ago by Rabat al-Muslimin to people who were living at the time in Germany. This was 33 years ago, way before there was any Muslim Jali in any country that was at least of numbers. And they sent a question saying that Isha is 10:30 and Fajr is 4:30. And of course, for the Middle Eastern people, that is insane because that's at least 2 hours difference in terms of day and night. And they were given the fatwa to pray together. And this is fatwa that is online. You can take a look at it. But I'm not going to go that far, at least not this year. But I'm at least going to stick to the earlier Isha that the Shuyukh were able to establish from looking at the horizon. So it's nothing, we're not breaking any law. They just looked from different angles. So if you go to your app and you change the what school of thought you're using to figure out Isha, you'll find one that almost follows what we're doing, with maybe a minute or two difference towards the end of. The latest Isha goes here is 10:39. When I came here, it was 11:30 in July, which is, I just thought that was nuts. So 10:39 is there, and I still think 10:39 is very, very late, but I it's better than 11:30. Just so that means that if you come for Isha here, you have to silence your phone, or else I'll lose my mind by the end of the summer. You have to silence the phone so that we don't have 50 mobiles going off with Adhan Isha in the middle of Salah. And it may not happen for other masajid, but for us it will for sure happen. So when you come for Isha, barakallahu feek, alayhi wa sallam, just make sure you silence your phone before Salat al-Isha, and then unsilence it afterwards, just so that we don't end up listening to all these beautiful adhans happening while the imam is trying to recite a surah or we're trying to perform our Salah. All right. So the hadith narrated by Imam Bazzar and Tabarani, and within the theme of humbleness, it's a really nice hadith. I don't know if you've heard it before or not, but if you haven't, you'll enjoy it. This is what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالَ مَا مِنْ آدَمِيٍّ إِلَّا وَفِي رَأْسِهِ حِكْمَةٌ بِيَدِ مَلَكٍ فَإِذَا تَوَاضَعَ قِيلَ لِلْمَلَكِ ضَعْ حِكْمَتَهُ وَإِذَا تَكَبَّرَ قِيلَ لِلْمَلَكِ إِرْفَعْ حِكْمَتَهُ. So the Prophet alayhi salam says that every human being, within his head, there's a certain amount of wisdom. That wisdom is held by one of the malaika, by Allah subhanahu, by the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the malaika carries that hikmah. If that person shows humbleness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, increase his hikmah, increase his wisdom. And if this person becomes arrogant, he says, take away his hikmah, take away So this hadith is interesting because it makes an association. The Prophet alayhi salam associates two things. He associates humbleness with wisdom. Humbleness and arrogance with wisdom. that the more humble you are, the more likely it is that you're going to be able to gain wisdom, have wisdom, and speak wisdom. And the more arrogant you are, the less likely it is you're going to be able to do them. And this is a very simple law. If you are humble, you will learn more, because you see people around you as sources of knowledge. You see people around you as walking experiences, people who are gems, who have something to offer. And if you're humble enough, you listen to them. And if you listen to them, you learn something from them. And that will increase your wisdom. And if you're arrogant, you see people as something different. You see them in a different lens, and you don't see them as people who have anything to offer you. If anything, they're bothering you with their existence altogether. They're ignorant and they know nothing, and they don't. So you're not willing to listen, so you learn nothing, so your wisdom decreases. So even if you take it outside of the metaphysical and you just think about it logically, this makes sense. But this is what the Prophet ﷺ tells us. Every human being has wisdom, but it's held. And based on how much humbleness, tawadu'a or takabbur there is, more of it will be given or more of it will be taken away. And this is just a reminder for us that tawadu'a, not only humbleness, is not only something that is, it's not just realizing reality and living by it, but it's also going to offer you in life limits. It's going to remove a lot of limits for you. We don't realize that being truly humble lifts limits. It removes barriers for us because we don't want to do it. The nafs doesn't want to do it. The nafs likes to be arrogant because it thinks by being arrogant it is on top. It doesn't understand that once you humble yourself, the limits of knowledge and the limits of almost everything become infinite. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ here is in a very simple and beautiful way explaining to us. يروي الإمام البزار في مسنده والإمام الطبراني في الكبير في سند حسن عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما من آدمي إلا وفي رأسي حكمة بيد ملك إذا تواضع قيل للملك ارفع حكمته وإذا تكبر قيل للملك ضع حكمته صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا